We're going to be talking about equality and how Jesus has changed the way that we see one another. I'm also going to be sharing a bit of my story as it hugely relates to equality. And then I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Spirit of God and what God's doing in your heart tonight. So we'll take a moment at the close and we'll pray together. I want to invite you to do that. So I just wanted to share a few things on equality. Equality is an interesting concept. It's something that we would dearly and deeply hold to. If I went around tonight, or even if I went to a stadium or, you know, the shopping mall, and I asked people, do you believe in the value of life? Do you believe that every life matters and the equal value of life? Many people would say, yeah, for sure. I definitely believe in that. And it's something that we hold to or we value. And it's something that oftentimes Western democratic nations, it's something that we do believe in. It's our democratic right to vote and to have a voice. And see, there's two assumptions that oftentimes go along with equality. See, oftentimes in the Western world, we don't really consider the origin of this idea. We almost kind of just taken it for granted, and we don't consider the origin of where does this begin. But there's two assumptions that oftentimes happen when we think about equality. And the first one is this, that everyone believes in the equal value of human life. So the first assumption we make is that everyone believes in the value of human life. We believe this. We think that this is an idea or a philosophy that is carried throughout the entire world. And the second assumption we have oftentimes when we think about equality, and I've made this assumption, is that it has always been this way. That people have always believed in the equal value of every human life. But see, these assumptions are untrue. It has not always been this way. And there are still numerous communities today where the value of human life is not seen with equality. People do not believe that each life has intrinsic, inherent value that is equal to another. And even though we have systems and structures that teach us this, we have a political system that teaches us democracy, and we believe that these things are true. We believe that these things are valuable, that lives matter equally. Our society seldom treats people in this way. This is an ideal that we aim for, but oftentimes we fail to live it out either personally or even as a community. It's a value that we believe we ought to hold. So the first assumption is incorrect. Even though we believe it, it's not something that we carry, and everyone does not believe it. The second thing is that people have not always believed in the equal value of human lives. And this is fascinating because at the time of Jesus in the Greco-Roman world, 1/5 of the population of the world at that time was in slavery. So I want you to actually look down your row or look behind you if there's not 5 people in your row. And every 5th person was a slave. Every 5th person had no value at all. And this was a common thought. Aristotle and Plato, some of the premier leading philosophers of the day. I want you to hear the things that they said. They believed that society was structurally unequal and there was a subclass of slaves who were there to serve those who were in power or the aristocrats, so the people who had the power. Aristotle saw slaves as being born into this role. They were the property of their owners. He viewed them as living tools. They were merely existed to meet the needs of their masters. In his book, Politics, he wrote, "Indeed, the use made of slaves and that of tame animals is not very different." So in this world, you have people believing that there are people, slaves, and they have no value. They have the same value as a dog, as a tame animal. Because he said this, he said, they're no different than a tame animal, for both with their bodies, they minister to the needs of life. This world was the world into which Jesus stepped. It was a world of structural inequality that Jesus taught and treated people with equal dignity and worth. He embodied the value of each human life as told in this story of creation. See, this concept, this idea of the equal value of human life, it stems from the Hebrew worldview. And oftentimes, once again, we think, well, everyone thought that. Everyone believed that every life had an equal value. No, the ancient world did not. The ancient world, people were seen, there were kings, there were leaders, there were slaves, there were people who would serve others. There was not a worldview of equality. But in the ancient world, another story was told, and that story is a story we find in creation. And if you think about this, and if you're kind of keeping that in mind, that the world at that time, in the ancient world, they did not value one another equally. In fact, they saw themselves, some people, as less than human. Now, I want you to then, in that framework, let's go back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says this. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. See, here we see such a different story than we see in the ancient world. Here we read of a God that created humanity in the image of himself. If that's not telling the human life that you have intrinsic value, you have inherent worth, I don't know what is. The creator of all things in this story says, I'm going to make mankind in my own image. I will stamp my image and my value and my worth on them. All humanity has the stamp of God on them. The world, the whole of Scripture echoes this idea. Human beings are valued because they are created by God, reflecting the image of God. The Hebrew story tells this story, where every human being is valuable and of equal worth. Whether you're brilliant, powerful, wealthy, whether you're poor, disabled, or unable to contribute in certain ways, you are of equal worth. You are made in God's image. Like I said earlier, this Hebrew view of seeing humanity was vastly different than every single other culture. I encourage you to study that. If you're curious about that, look at the ancient Near Eastern worldviews. Look at how the Sumerians saw life. Look at how the Egyptians saw life. The radical view, it was so revolutionary, what was written in the book of Genesis, that mankind could be made in the image of its creator. And when God in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ stepped into our story, he modeled this value for all people. We see him healing lepers. This was unheard of in the world. Hanging out with the poor, valuing people from all different cultures. We see him seeking out the lost. We see him seeking out the abandoned, the rejected, the downtrodden. God revealed in Christ came to reveal that his love is for all people. We find this in one of the most famous passages in Scripture. It's a passage that we oftentimes hear in Christian circles, but we sometimes don't meditate on the gravity of its words. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever... That word, whoever, it's so freeing. It's so ridiculous. It's such a ridiculous concept in the world at that time. The word whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a time where Jesus is telling a story about a wedding party where all these different groups of people are invited. And in the Message translation in Luke 24, I'll just read it. The master says this, quickly, get out into the city streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and homeless. Can you hear the language here? This story, this gospel, this love of God is open for all humanity. The misfits, the homeless, the wretched, and hearing this in those days would have been the slaves. And the slaves are like, yep, you too, come on. You too, you're invited. All the wretched you can lay your hands on and bring them here. And the servant replied, Master, I did what you commanded and there's still room. And then the master said, then go into the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house to be full. See, Jesus changed the game when it came to equality. He revealed an indiscriminate love of God for all people. But the thing is, what Tim was saying, Jesus didn't just change the game then and stop. His spirit continues to go on, and he's still changing the game. And tonight I want to share a glimpse into the man that I used to be. My mom and dad, they believed in the value, the inherent value of every human life. But I didn't share that. I didn't share that point of view. When I was younger, about 12 years old, someone that was very close to me was mugged at gunpoint in Portland, Oregon. And this was by an African-American man, a group of them. And this person who was close to me came back home and told me this story. But they also taught along with that story a deep hate and disgust and anger for the African-American community. And they got along with other people who believed these same sort of ideals. And before I knew it, by the age of 12, I became someone who would have put up their hand if someone said, are you a white supremacist? I would have said, yes, that's me. I didn't believe that every life mattered. I believed that only white lives mattered. I believed that there was this perfect race. I was taught to believe there's this perfect race. There was this perfect human, and that perfect human was the white man. And I went on to believe this, and I didn't just believe it. I acted these things out. I'm the type of person who doesn't just believe something. I become a supporter of it. I become someone who passes that belief on to others. So I gathered people around me, and by the time I was 16, I had all these young people around my life following in this way of life that the white person was God's true creation. I don't know where I rationalized this with the gospel. I don't think I did. I just believed it. This became the filter through which I valued life. I saw that we lived in a community where there are a lot of people from Pakistan, and I valued their lives as less than my own. I remember there was this time there was a shooting in our community. There was a mass murdering of a Pakistani family. And I thought it was a good thing. I began to see people with hate. The hate that I'd been taught to see people with. And if you're living that life, you end up doing things you wish you'd never done. And I moved down to San Diego, and I got bashed up by an Asian gang. And then I reinforced this belief even stronger. And this continued to be the existence that I lived out of. I saw people who were not white as less than myself. I saw them as this thing that was taking over Canada. I believed that Canada should be white, and these people shouldn't be allowed. And I believed this, and like I said, I gathered people around my lives to believe these same things. This was the filter that I'd been given, and it was the filter that I adopted. And I've never shared this publicly before. It framed how I saw entire races and groups of people. It framed my actions towards them. It's difficult for me to know, even to think on these things as I was writing them down and think back to the person that I was. And I shudder to think where my life would have continued to have gone if I had continued to walk down that path. But in the Canadian Rockies years ago, when I was alone in my hotel room, I had an encounter with this Jesus Christ. This guy that's changed everything. And it was so crazy because I, even though there was so much hate in my life, all I felt from God was this love. Even knowing the things that I had done in my life, all I felt from this God was love and an invitation. As I told you before about the master who said, go out into the highways, go out into the byways, go out into the alleyways, come. I want my house to be full. I was the last person I would have ever expected for Christ to invite and say, come, I want my house to be full. But I felt that and had a revelation of that love. And it was a moment where my life began to change dramatically, as Levi has shared tonight. But the narrative that I had carried, the narrative that I had believed, was not an easy one to change. This was not immediate for me. Because it's difficult when the filter through which you've seen everything becomes challenged. I did have an encounter where I experienced God's love, his redemption and salvation, but the narrative of racism and privilege was one that would take years to expose and eventually for God to replace. But why I get so excited about that passage in Genesis, because I can hang my hat on that passage and I can declare that every single human being has value, that every single human being has an equal value. I cannot say that I follow Christ and say, I see a white person here and I see a black person down here. I cannot say that because every single human being is created and has the image of God upon it. We are image bearers of our Creator. I cannot say that one is more valuable than the other, but I needed to see that in my heart. Because I'd read this stuff. And like I said, even though I'd encountered with God, it took years for that filter, the filter through which I saw my reality, to be challenged and eventually to change. And I want to say this, it is so freeing. It is so freeing. I know such joy. And I still know people who are still living that way of life that I was living, and they are in misery. But I know this joy, I know this freedom, I know this hope. And my heart is full of love for all people. For white, black, Asian, indigenous, African, Inuit, we are all made in the image of God. There is beauty within all of us. I've come to believe this, that this has always been the heart of God. And any thought contrary to this, I believe, is not of Christ. Like I said in the beginning, although we believe that all lives matter equally, it's not always something that we live out. And I just wanted to share a few things that might, maybe you've struggled with similar things, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you deal with other things in how you see people, or you position yourselves differently to others. But I just want to share two things. And the first one is this. Humble yourself and ask God to reveal the filters you see people through. I don't know what that filter is, but humble yourself and ask God, God, can you help me see how I do sometimes see people? And allow God's Spirit to replace that filter, the love and mind of Christ. Allow the love of God, allow that to become the filter through which you see every human life. Recognize the filter and replace the filter. because we all have a filter. The question is that filter through the mind of Christ, or is it through our experience, our hurts, our pains, our prejudice? We all have a filter. And I'm continually having to challenge that old way of seeing people. Together with Christ. And the second is this. Practice hospitality. Together with Christ and by the power of His Holy Spirit, we can continue working towards shaping a more equal world. We can continue towards shaping a more equal Australia. An Australia where we value each and every single person equally. Where we value people regardless of their race, regardless of where they have come from, regardless of what religion they are a part of, we value them. We value them for who they are. We can begin towards shaping a world with greater equality by practicing hospitality. Jesus tells a story about a man, or the sheep and the goats. He tells this story, and it's found in the book of Matthew. He says, when the Son of Man comes in all His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance and the kingdom prepared for you. For since the creation of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And then the King will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Jesus teaches this way of a liberal love, a love that is extravagant for all people. And hospitality matters. Caring for the poor matters. Caring for those who are around us matter. And as you go into your study this week, you're going to be looking at some groundbreaking things that have happened throughout history where Jesus has broken through into people's lives. And it's through breaking into people's lives that He continues to shape a more beautiful world that we live in. A more equal world, a more caring world. In a Western world where wealth and power, social standing, prominence, Instagram followers, all these different things can measure us and divide us out, this leaves many feeling insignificant and irrelevant. We need to hear that all lives do matter, that everyone does matter equally, not because of what you've achieved or who you know or how many followers you have. Christianity doesn't teach because of that you matter. It doesn't teach because of how you perform, or Levi and I wouldn't have stood a chance. But you matter because God created you and loves you. I want to invite the team up to close in a song. And I want to also just invite a moment of, possibly it's a moment between you and God. A moment where possibly this is a time where you ask God, Lord, help me to see people the way that you see people. I dream that we would be a community that sees people the way Christ sees people. Even as we go through this Jesus the Game Changer time together, we would be changed radically by the love of God. Why don't we stand together? I also want to encourage any life group leaders, come on up. Let's pray for one another tonight. If you've never encountered the love of God, I pray tonight you would know that God is calling you to be a part of this feast, that He's calling you to be a part of His family.